So this morning, I thought that we could recite together the first two verses of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami's Govardhan Basa Prarthana Dasakam. I'm going to continue. I was going to go on to text two, but there's so many things that we didn't cover with text one at all that I would like to go back to that. And we'll continue more with text two. Better, I think, to go a little slow and go deep in things than to try to cover everything. So we can recite this together in this Malini meter and a certain melody. Nija pati buja dandach chatta bhavam prapadya pratihata madadristo danda devinda garba atula pritula shaila shaini bupa priyame nijane kata nivasam dehi go burdanatvam pramada madana lila kandaye kandarete rachayat. We'll start again. Pramada madana lila kandare kandare te rachayati navayuno dvandam asmim amandam iti kila kalanartam lagnakasta dvayorme nija nikata nibasam dehi go burdanatvam nija nikata nibasam dehi go burdanatvam Goragra ganya gana gota guloru haram Goranga gudatama gopya da kopa briksham Gopala gada rati damyati singha gora Govinda deshi kavaram satatam namami Guruve Gurachandraya Radhikayai Tadalaye Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tadbhaktaya Namo Namaha Namo Vrindavanankaya Tubhyam Goloka Molane Purna Brahmata Patraya Namo Govardhanaya Cha Namo Govardhanaya Cha Vancha Kopa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So, we've been speaking something about this Govardhan Basa Prarthana Dasakam by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. And I'd like to just remind you a little something of what we spoke yesterday. And a theme that I'm going to repeat and elaborate on more, especially with the next verse, of how this prayer is an expression of Raghunath Das Goswami's outburst of love. It's not just a composition written for preaching or for any kind of mood like that, but it's just a spontaneous outburst. And we compared it to a cave, a guha, in which, as we mentioned before, the second verse we read today, kandare kandare te, we'll speak about the caves. But first I'd like to touch a little bit on what we went over before. Indradev has a very, very important position. But in spite of his position, pratihata madadristo denda devindragarbha, he had this garba, this great pride. And we mentioned three qualities of that pride, which Pratihata, Giriraj checks. He destroys those three qualities of pride. And we compared that pride to the outside of the cave. And if you want to go inside the cave, the outside's also part of it, but it's outside. And you can't experience the same thing outside that you can on the inside. So Indra has 1,000 eyes. But in spite of his thousand eyes, he's a blind person. Chanika Pandit, he says, there are three types of blind persons. Janmanda, someone who's blind from birth. Kamanda, someone who's blind by lust. And Dambanda, someone who's blind because of pride. Indra is not blind from birth, but he has this blindness of these other two types. He's blind because of lust. He's very lusty over his wife, Sachi Devi, and very lusty over the different apsaras and the heavenly planets. And he's thinking he can enjoy like anything. And because of that enjoyment, some great pride comes to his heart, Dambanda. And although he has a thousand eyes, he can't see, he can't understand. In one of our Krishna Katamrita Bindu magazines, this is a small advertisement for it, issues 372, we translated for the first time in English part of a commentary on Vallabhacharya's Viveka Dharya Ashraya. And in text 10 to 13, the commentary said a very interesting thing I'd like to share with you. Vasudevi manoyasya japa homarchan adisu tashyantarayo maitreya devendra vatikam phalam. For persons whose minds are always engaged in the Lord and in chanting his names and doing some sacrifices for him, worshiping him, fruits such as the position of Indra, becoming Indra, are a great obstacle for their bhakti. They don't want that. The Vishnu Purana describes this verse that we just quoted, Vasudeva Manoyasya. The Vishnu Purana 2.6.41 says that to get the position of the heavenly planets or to become Indra are great obstacles in our bhakti. We don't want that. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't do the austerity, mark that word, the austerity of becoming a manager or a leader, if Guru and Krishna want that thing. If someone says, no, Gurudev, I'm very humble, I won't do that service, that's false humility. Because a Vaishnav can do any service, and that service becomes, on the order of Guru and Krishna, becomes absolute. But we shouldn't hanker for that or try to push for that. But if Guru and Krishna give us that, if the Vaishnavas want us to do that, then we accept it wholeheartedly. It's not necessarily a bad thing. So we mentioned something yesterday about the commentary, which has also never been translated into English, of Baladev Vidyabhushan on this Govardhan Basa Pratana Dasakam. And in this first verse, he gives a dialogue that goes on between Giriraj and Raghunath Das Goswami. And first of all, Giriraj, he hears this prayer from Raghunath Das, and he says, there's so many mountains, so many great mountains, you can go to the Himalayas. What do you want with me for? Why do you want to stay here? And Raghunath Das Goswami, he replies in this verse, Atula Pritula Shaila Shreni Bhupa Priyamme. He says that Priyamme, you're very, very dear to me because, yes, you're a mountain, you're a Shaila. He says in the verse, we can look at text 1. This is the third line. Atula Pritula Shaila Shreni Bhupa Priyamme. He says that you're, but amongst so many mountains which are Pritula, very great, and are Atula, incomparable. Shreni means like a row of or a line of mountains, many mountains. Atula Pritula Shaila Bhupa Priyamme. You're the king of all those mountains. And Priyamme, you're very, very dear to me. So then Giriraj, perhaps he says, Baladev says, Giriraj then says, Okay, you want to stay in Vrindavan, you want to stay in Braj, I can appreciate that, but why do you want to stay here? You can stay in so many different places. And then Raghunath Das Goswami, he replies with the first line, Nijapati Bhuja Dandach Chattam Bhavam Prapadya. The Bhavam Prapadya, you've attained the position of a chatra, like an umbrella, who's Nijapati Bhuja Dandach, whose on the end of Nijapati. We mentioned something yesterday about the importance of those two words. Right from the very beginning, Raghunath Das Goswami establishes he's worshiping Giriraj as a devotee. Nijapati, your Lord, who's Krishna. Giriraj's Lord is Krishna. Nijapati Bhuja Dandach. He says that Giriraj, you're such a great devotee that you've attained this quality. Twam means a quality. You've attained this quality of being the umbrella for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I also want that. It's interesting to note, too, that all the translations I've ever seen of this verse, they translate Govardhan Twam as two different words. But depending on the Sunday, you can also have them as one word, and it has a slightly different meaning. Govardhan Twam means, Twam means you, when it's a separate word, and Govardhan means you, Giriraj. But putting the two words together, it means the quality that Giriraj has. Govardhanatvam. And I want that. And what is that quality that Giriraj has? Raghunath Baladeva Yabhushan goes on to describe in the third question. Giriraj says, okay, but why don't you stay somewhere else in Braj? And Raghunath Das Goswami, he says because elsewhere in Braj, and he's speaking in the mood of a sadhak in this Boma Vrindavan, elsewhere in Braj, you may get Krishna, but you won't get the devotee of Krishna. You may go and you may stay in so many different places in Braj, but I want to stay here with you because you're a devotee. And getting that blessing of the devotee, that's the best thing. So then in the second verse, Raghunath Das Goswami, he describes Pramada Madana Leela Kandare Kandare Te Rachayati Navayunor Dvandvim Asmim Amandam Itikila Kalanartam Lagna Kastad Dvayorme Nija Nikata Nibasam Dehi Govardhanatvam. O Giriraj, now Raghunath Das, he's describing the first purpose of Giriraj, how Giriraj serves. The Giriraj, he's a place for the divine couple's most intimate pastimes. Immediately he goes from the entrance to the cave to something very, very deep. Pramada Madana Leela Kandare Kandare Te. O Govardhan, please grant me this residence near you. I want this residence that Kalanartam, Kalana means to see. Artam, this is Artam, the purpose that I have for requesting residence near you, Kalanartam, I want to see this Pramada Madana Leela, this very wonderful divine couple who are enjoying passionate, amorous pastimes in your caves. Now, Baladeva Yabhushan, he quotes Nyaya Shastra in his commentary, and he quotes a particular type of Nyaya, which, as I recall, is called Kakanda Nyaya, or the Eye of the Crow. Traditionally, in Vedic literature, and don't ask me why it is, I don't know, but it's said that the crow has only one eye. And that one eye, depending on where the crow wants to see, if he wants to look over here, then that one eye moves over here. And if he wants to look back here, then the one eye moves back over here like this. So that one eye serves two purposes. And that's called Kakanda Nyaya. So similarly, he says one word in these verses may serve more than one purpose. Raghunath Das Goswami is saying something, but it has more meanings. We heard in the first verse something about the word madda, and which is, indicates lust and indicates pride. And now in the second verse, Raghunath Das Goswami invokes that word twice, pramada madana, but having a very, very different meaning, as we'd like to explain. The prefix pra means something very extreme. Madda means something very intimate. So this is pramada. Madana. Madda means intoxication. It also refers to something very, very intimate. One translator gave it as amorous, pramada madana lila. The word mada means lust, but madana, the suffix na, negates something. This is not mundane lust, and it's an important thing for us to understand in this verse. So he says, pramada madana lila. I want to see these particular pastimes, these extremely intoxicating, intimate, amorous pastimes of the God of love, Krishna, who is a supreme Cupid. And this is going on, kandare kandare te, in all the different caves on Giri Govardhan. As I mentioned in our magazine we're working on about Govardhan Hill, it took us quite a few years, but we managed to find out something. I said seven yesterday, actually eight different caves in Govardhan Hill. One of them, they say, is big enough to fit 50 people at the same time. Quite big cave. And one of these caves, you can see, we'll be going in a couple days to, I don't know, maybe tomorrow, to Puchari. And one of those caves you can see not very far from there. And that particular cave is interesting because you see there's some bricks fixed on the outside of it. And there's a contemporary story about that cave, which I find relevant for the subject we're looking at today. There was one sadhu who came from Mumbai, and he decided that he wanted to do his bhajan on Govardhan Hill. He wanted to stay on Govardhan Hill, and he wanted to stay in one of the caves. And we spoke about this person with a number of local people there who still remember him. And they all told us the same thing, that we told them, Baba, don't do this. You don't stay on Govardhan. We don't stay in the caves because pramada madana lila kandare kandare te. Those caves are meant for Radha and Krishna, and they're performing their divine pastimes. Rather, nija nikata nivasam dehi govardhanatvam. Raghunath Das Goswami has taught us that we want to do our bhajan near to Govardhan. Now, this is a very subtle but very deep and important point in our particular bhajan. Raghunath Das Goswami, he's indicating here that I don't want to try to thrust myself into Radha Krishna Leela in an improper way, but rather he's acting according to his sambandha. We should understand these three principles that we spoke about yesterday, sambandha, abhideya, and prayojan. What is our connection with the Lord, our sambandha? What is our abhideya? What is the process we're going to perform to get that goal, the prayojan? Prayojan also means necessity, the thing that I can't live without. It's the most important thing. We should understand clearly what those three things are. And I can tell you frankly, liberation is not enough as our goal. Or even just being a nice devotee and going to Mangal Artik every day and whatever. That's not part of the mood of our Gaudiya Sampradaya. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's instructed us at Prema Pumarti Mohan, that we want Krishna Prem. This is the goal of our life. So this man was staying there in Govardhan Hill. He said, no, it's okay. And the particular cave that he was staying in had two snakes occupying it. We went to a lot of trouble to get photographs of the caves, these eight caves at Govardhan Hill. There's a Saptakundara, seven different caves, and there's an extra one, which is the cave of Raghava Pandit. That's the only cave that we can go to directly. There was a problem to get photos because we don't walk on Govardhan Hill. So we engaged one local person who was also a good photographer, and they went on the caves, and she told me that when they came to some of the caves, the person who was showing her the caves, she wanted to go in, and she said, no, we don't go inside, because inside these caves are poisonous snakes. Oh, that's a good reason not to go inside. He said, no, you don't understand. They're not actually poisonous snakes, but they're great rishis who are doing their bhajan inside of the cave. And they're staying in there because they want some privacy, and we don't bother them. So this sadhu from Mumbai He was staying in this cave near Puchiri, and they warned him about not doing that. And there were two poisonous snakes living in that cave. And they told him, Baba, it's very dangerous. You don't stay there. No, no, it's okay. I'm doing my nambhajan. I'm worshiping Krishna. Everything will be okay. And he stayed there for some weeks, and everything was okay. He was occupying the same cave with the snakes. But then one day, one of the snakes bit him twice on his head, and he left his body there. So these caves are very intimate places, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And Raghunath Das Goswami is instructing us something which is a big question for many devotees. Well, should I read all these confidential, intimate books that we can find in Lloyd Bazaar? After all, our Goswamis have given us these things. And they have, and these books are important. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has put this in a nice perspective. He gave a lecture, that some of you may be familiar with, famous lecture, at Radhakund in 1932. It was later printed in Bengali in the Gaudiya magazine. And I'm reading from a translation. He addressed the devotees during that parikrama, and he said, all these days we've not spoken about Leela. Why? He said, because this is our most confidential asset. This is our only sadhya, our only goal. And Srila Prabhupada said a similar thing to this also. There's a letter that Prabhupada wrote to one devotee. We said that renunciation is required. But when one makes further progress after renunciation towards spiritual life and enters into the pastimes of Krishna, then things become perfect. And Srila Prabhupada, one of the first books that he gave was his Krishna book. And not only did he publish it, but he wanted the devotees to read it as a daily affair. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is speaking a similar thing. This is our only sadhya, our only goal, this pastimes of Radha and Krishna. But one should not make the mistake of thinking, that anartha nibritti is a prayojan. To become free from anarthas is a necessity. To become free from anarthas is our goal. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says that's a mistake. One thinking like this will never enter into artha prabhitti. There's anartha nibritti and there's artha prabhitti. Artha means something we want. It's our goal. Anartha means something which is useless, which is a distraction, which is not our goal. And nibritti, we want to become free from those things. But he says, if our only focus is on anartha nibritti, on becoming free from anarthas, then we'll never enter into artha prabritti, or our goal. He said, for this reason, I will begin speaking about Ashta Kaliya Leela, the eightfold pastimes of Krishna and Braj. And he said to the devotees, I know that you're not ready to hear it. Well, then what are you speaking it for? In the next sentence he explains, but we should know that such a transcendental idea exists within the realm of devotion. In these verses, Raghunath Das Goswami is not actually giving something so intimate. He's just speaking in a general way. Pramada madana leela, kandare kandare te. That in all the caves on Govardhan Hill, this pramada madana leela is going on. You should know about it. For us, this is a purport of this verse. We should know something about it. If we don't know, what is our goal? If we don't put it before us, how will we get there? If you want to try to drive a car from here to the Himalayan mountains, and you just say, anyway, any direction's okay, and you start driving south, it's possible you might get there if you have a waterproof car and you can tolerate a lot of cold, but it's going to take you a long, long time and be very, very difficult. Rather, we should have a clear understanding of what is our art to our goal. In his book, Bhajan Rahasya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given many confidential instructions about bhajan. And he speaks about, in the second chapter, about anarthas. And there he says that one type of anartha is to have a misunderstanding about our goal. We have to keep in mind our goal. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta goes on to say, he says that we should know such a transcendental idea exists within the realm of devotion. This is why anartha nibriti is essential. So for us, I would suggest, and I understand it's a little controversial subject, and different devotees will have different understandings. I'm just putting forth my humble understanding on this. Some devotees say we shouldn't ever hear or read these things, but I find that not very satisfying because Srila Prabhupada gave us the Krishna book, which includes a section on Rasleela and so many things. But this explanation given here by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, I feel reconciles things in a very nice way, that we should know that such an idea exists. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in Chaitanya Sikshamrita, he speaks about the qualification, the adhikar, to hear a Rasleela, this Rasakata. And he says in a very emphatic, very clear, simple way, jada bada jiva Krishna lila shravane anadikari. That someone who's a jada bada jiva, who's a conditioned soul, Krishna lila shravane anadikari. He has no adhikar, no qualification to hear Krishna lila. But then again, we raise the question, why did Srila Prabhupada give us this? Because, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says clearly here, we have to understand what is our artha prabritti, what is the goal that we want. We should have some clear understanding of that. And there's a difference between understanding what that goal is and reading and reciting those pastimes as part of our sadhana. There's a big difference. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta goes on. We should know such a transcendental idea exists. This is why anartha nibriti is essential. Because if we don't have anartha nibriti, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in Shravane Anadikari, he has no adhikar for this shravan, because he's going to get the wrong idea. He has some other desires and things. After the realm of anartha nibriti is artha prabriti, pure conjugal service to Radha and Krishna. This is a transcendental reality. And he goes on further to explain, if we do not know of this transcendental realm, and I would humbly suggest also that this perhaps is one of the purposes of this Govardhan retreat, not to immerse us in Govinda Lilamrita or something like that, but to give some idea that this reality exists, and to further strengthen our conviction and desire to achieve that goal. Bhaktisiddhanta says, if we do not know of this transcendental realm, then our efforts may end in nirvisheshavad. If we don't understand what is the goal, then we may become impersonalists. He says, do not let your days pass in trying for anartha nibriti. That's not our purpose. That's not our bhajan. It's not that we're sitting down and chanting 64 rounds of, oh God, please, please, let me become free from sex desire. Please, please, God. That's not our bhajan. Rather, we're chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Bhaktisiddhanta says, artha prabritti is also necessary. Anartha nibritti is necessary until artha prabritti has started. When artha prabritti is present, then anartha nibriti becomes unimportant. Artha prabriti becomes prominent. Those who have chanted Hari Nam for 15 or 20 years should know such things. We should know such things. The beginners need not hear of these topics or they will misunderstand. These topics are meant for certain audiences, not for all. Also it is said, and he quotes from Narottam Das Thakur's Pratana, apana bhajana kata na kahi be jata chata, that one should not reveal one's bhajan to others. If we disregard this instruction of our previous acharyas, then there may be a permanent fall from the realm of devotional service. So when we approach something, when we hear these prayers of Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Das is teaching us in the 10th verse, as we mentioned yesterday, which reveals his sambandha, we should keep in mind, what is my position? What is my connection with this thing? And what does Raghunath Das Goswami say? In that 10th verse, Nirupadi Karunena, Sri Satchinandanena, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given me to you. We described it yesterday. Nirupadi Karunena, Sri Satchinandanena, in spite of my position, Tvai Kapati Satopi, Tvat Priyan Arpitosmi, Arpitosmi, he's given me to you, in spite of the fact Tvat Priyan I'm a cheater. And I'm a kapati, I'm a duplicitous person, I'm a criminal, this is my position, and therefore he's saying, I don't want to go to those caves, but nija nikata nibasam, I want to reside near those caves, because I'm remembering my sambandha, my connection, I'm remembering my position always. I think last year, the year before, we gave an example, a little vivid example here at the Govardhan Retreat, I'll repeat again. What if I came running into the room right now and I said, Prabhuji, it's a really amazing thing. Just right now, outside over here, Krishna is waiting for you, wants to talk to you. So what are you going to do? And I ask this question sometimes to devotees, and they generally become confused when we ask it. I don't know. And somebody said, well, yeah, I'll run there right away. I said, well, that's really good. And what are you going to tell Krishna? Who did you vote for in the election? Or how's the weather in Vrindavan? What are you going to tell him? And I tell the devotees, I'm not going to go there. Because I remember my position. And I have no adhikar for that. I'll go there, but not by myself. I'm going to go there with my Gurudev. And I'm going to put my Gurudev in front of me. Because my Gurudev, he belongs there. My position is to serve my Gurudev. This is my sambandha. And therefore, my Gurudev is sambandha data. He's that personality who gives us sambandha. And he is our sambandha. We can't forget Srila Prabhupada. We can't forget our Guru Varga, our disciplic succession of gurus. It's not just that we just decide on our own, yeah, I think this sounds really fun. I got this book in Lloyd Bazaar. It looks really cool. And I'll read this thing. It's very entertaining. It's not just child's play. But we're doing some serious bhajan, which has to be done under the guidance of a premi bhakta. And we've established that in the first verse. That's the entranceway to the cave. If we want to be free from that pride, Raghunath Das Goswami tells us in Manasiksha, then you have to constantly serve those great devotees and accept their chastisement. It's also interesting in this lecture, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he speaks in a way which I find similar to a book, actually a series of articles that were composed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur for the Gaudiya magazine in Bengali, which later he compiled into a book called Bhakti Tattva Vivek. And in there, he speaks about the importance of understanding what is Sudha Bhakti, pure bhakti. He said, if we don't, we may think that Chaya Bhakti or some shadow of Bhakti or Pratibimba Bhakti, some reflection of Bhakti, Pratibimba Bhakti Abhas or Chaya Bhakti Abhas, that's real Bhakti. It's not real Bhakti. And then we may become discouraged. Why I've been practicing for so many years, but I'm not getting the proper result. If we don't understand this deep science, then we'll think, oh, it doesn't work, this chanting Hare Krishna. But we should understand, you're not doing Sudha Bhakti. You're doing something else. And he describes two broad categories of Bhakti Abhas, one of which is Chaya Bhakti Abhas, and the other is Pratibimba Bhakti Abhas. One is a shadow, and the other is a reflection. Of the two, which is better? Generally, people think the reflection is better. If you have a tree will give its reflection in a pond of water. A tree also has a shadow. Of the two, the reflection looks much better. It's much more clear, and you can see all the colors and variegated features of the tree, which you can't perceive simply through the shadow. which is just some different thing. But Bhaktivinoda says that always and necessarily Chaya Bhakti Abhas is superior to Pratibimba Bhakti Abhas. And so this has some connection with our discussion. Pratibimba Bhakti Abhas is a reflection, and he says this is what's possessed by the impersonalists. And sometimes they look better. I remember we were giving some discussion about this topic some years ago in Jagannath Puri with a group of devotees from China. And when I spoke about this, one of them said, "Ah, now I understand." Because sometimes the impersonalists, they look better than the devotees. Sometimes the impersonalists, they control their senses better than the devotees. And this devotee told me this. He said, I see in China we have many Buddhist monks, and some of them, they're very, very austere, and they're so tightly controlling their senses. But sometimes we see the devotees, and they're not able to do that. But there's a difference between the two. Although the first, Pratibimba Bhakti Abhas, looks better because they're able to control their senses, it's always and necessarily inferior because Chaya Bhakti Abhas, there's a connection with the tree. The shadow has a connection. And so our acharyas have described again and again that we should act according to our position. And there's a very beautiful statement from Srila Prabhupada, which he gave in a lecture in Montreal in August of 1968, which I think also puts this in perspective for us, these prayers. He says, "For offering prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you do not require any high qualification. It doesn't matter. You can offer your prayer from any standard of life. Not that you have to become a very learned, scholarly man, and you have to present your prayers in very nicely selected words, in poetry, in rhetoric, prosody, so that everything is there, some metaphor. Nothing is required. Simply, you have to express your feelings." And then Prabhupada goes on and says something very profound. "So what is that real feeling? One must be aware of his position. Then one can express his feeling. Feelings should be very sincere and automatic." So Raghunath Das Goswami is teaching us this, "Twai kapati satopi twat priyanarpitosmi," that Mahaprabhu gave me to you because he doesn't see any faults in anyone. And although twai kapati sato, sato means a criminal, kapati means a duplicitous person, this is who I am. This is what I am. He doesn't deny that. Haridas Thakur, who is Lord Brahma, was denied entrance into the temple of Jagannath in Puri. It's rather ironic because he's the person who installed the deity there. Right? He could have said, "Hey, don't you know who I am? I did the deity installation here. Get out of my way. Let me inside." Or he could have appealed to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his leading associates like Kanai Kuntia. Kanai Kuntia is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was the head priest in the Jagannath Mandir. And he was an associate of Mahaprabhu. He could have appealed to him, "Let me inside." He could have told him, "Don't you know who I am? I am the Nam Acharya. In Gaura Lila, I am the Acharya of the holy name. Get out of my way." Haridas Thakur never did that. Rather, he showed by his example to us how we should do our bhajan. He always considered himself to be Yavana Haridas, or a fallen Yavana Malecha. And that was the fuel for his nam bhajan. By accepting his position, Srila Prabhupada says here, what is real feeling? One must be aware of his position. Then one can express his feeling. Feelings should be very sincere and automatic. Very, very important point in our bhajan. Sometimes we get confused because we're a preaching movement. We confuse preaching with bhajan. And we try to wear our bhajan like a outer coat or something. But our bhajan, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says here, has to be something private. We also have to have that part. And Srila Prabhupada sometimes he would say that in our Krishna consciousness movement, It's like a train that runs on two tracks. Mm-hmm. One track is our bhajan, and the other track is our preaching. It's not that our preaching means that we tell everybody how many rounds I'm chanting. We tell everybody our intimate prayers from our heart. But there should be some private place in our heart. When we take devotees on Parikrama and Jagannath Puri, we like to contemplate, what does it mean to me? I strongly feel this. Whatever we study from our acharyas, we should always contemplate, what is the relevance of this for me? Otherwise, it becomes something very abstract and very distant. So we've had this idea that Jagannath Puri is actually the Jagannath Puri University of Braj Prem. It's a university, a school, how to enter into Braj, which was opened by the Supreme Teacher, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And each one of the different Leela Stalis there is a classroom in that school. And the first classroom, in each classroom, there's a different lesson. In the first classroom is the Jagannath Mandir. And there we learn something about what is darshan. And Mahaprabhu teaches us that we don't go close to the Lord, rather we stand near the Lord's devotee, Garuda. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, this is the meaning of darshan. Not that I try to see the Lord with my senses, but rather I act in such a way the Lord will want to see me. Another instruction we get from the Jagannath Mandir is intimated by Srila Luchandas Thakur and his Chaitanya Mangal, when he says that Mahaprabhu was going there three times a day. Now, we've read, I did some research one occasion. I went through all the different biographies of Mahaprabhu I could find, and I looked up all the different deities that Mahaprabhu was having darshan of. And Tota Gopinath's mentioned, I think I found a few hundred times, but Jagannath is mentioned like over 1,000 times. That was the Ishtadev of Mahaprabhu. He was always going there, more than any other deity. But that temple, it's a very formal kind of place. They have so many rules, and they have some problems. They didn't allow entrance to Haridas Thakur or to Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. And they don't give entrance to most of the Western devotees there. I sometimes tell people that I've only learned three words in Oriya language, Bideshi, Prabeshi, Nishad, same thing in Hindi. Foreigner not allowed inside. That's practically the only thing that I learned there. But in spite of that, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us that there's some value in the Jagannath Mandir. Even though they may make some mistakes, he always supports organized religion. Because organized religion has a very important role in the world. And even if the persons who are managing it, like Indra and others, make some mistake, still the mass of people need that. But Mahaprabhu teaches us in Puri, in this Jagannath Puri University of Braj Prem, there's another classroom nearby to the Jagannath Mandir, and that's the Gambira. And that Gambira is a place where we're taught that we also need to have something private. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives the same instruction four times. Now, if he said something twice, you'd probably think it was important. If he said it three times, you might think it really important. He says this thing four times. In the sixth chapter, text 10, Rahasi Stitta Ekaki, that a transcendentalist should live alone in a secluded place. Now, that sounds a little confusing because this was not the instruction of Srila Prabhupada. It was not the instruction of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. They said, no, you should go to the city, and not just the city, but you should go to the heart of the city, and you should preach there. But then in the 13th chapter, when Krishna describes the different qualities of knowledge, twice in the same verse he says, Vivikta Desha Sevidvam, that you should aspire to live in a solitary place. And then he says, Aratir Jana Sangsidhi, have no reti, don't be attached to the general mass of people. Three times now he said, live alone. And then again in the 18th chapter, text 52, Vivikta Sevi, you should live in a secluded place. How do we understand this? We should learn to live alone in the crowd. We should learn to be subtle enough to distinguish between my personal private bhajan and feelings and those things which we display to the public. We may tell the public there's such a thing as a Raslila. We may distribute Krishna books to the mass public because everybody should understand something about Krishna. But our feelings, our relationship with that, that's something very, very private. And if we don't do that, then we can't really get the full mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We won't really understand and get the full purport of this movement. My Guru Maharaj used to give an example quite often. He said that one of the synonyms of samudra or ocean is ratnagarbha, or that place which in which it's garbha, its womb. There are many ratnas, many valuable jewels. But to obtain those jewels, you have to dive very deep to get them, to get those pearls and jewels. If you just stay on the surface of the water, he said, you'll only collect fish. So we want to go very, very deep. So studying these prayers, we want to keep our Gurudev in front of us. We want to keep our position prominent in our mind. And we can also contemplate what is Raghunath Das Goswami's mood here in this. We see all this through the lens of our Sambandha, meaning the lens of our Gurudev, as a service to Gurudev, and with our Gurudev always present. We could say that our bhajan is a kind of regurgitation of the bhajan that we've gotten from our Gurudev. Our Gurudev does his bhajan, and that Sarup Shakti appears through that. And Rupa Goswami, therefore, he says in his Padyavali, that karna krodha kadambani gatayate karna arbi dubyo spiham. I want to have millions and millions of ears because I want to hear from Gurudev. Because in Navavidhi Bhakti, first is Shravan, first comes hearing, and then comes Kirtan. We first hear. And who do we hear from? Srila Prabhupada told us many, many times, we hear from a qualified person. We hear from a person who comes in parampara because that person has some conception. Raghunath Das Goswami in his Mukta Charit invokes this conception in the first verse in his Mangala Charna where he says that Nama Shrestham Manamapi Sachiputram Matra Sarupam. He speaks about the different gifts that he's received from Gurudev. And the first thing that he says is, I've gotten Nama Shrestham. I've gotten the topmost name. But you may say this, maybe he doesn't understand Siddhanta very much. Because Krishna's Advaya Tattva, he's one. Why are you addressing, saying Nama Shrestham, the topmost name? Because this is the name I got from my Gurudev. As we were speaking to someone yesterday, this is the secret of Harinama initiation. Some people, we're writing some book about this, we'd like to call the Kirtan of our Sampradaya. And what some people question, what is this Harinama initiation? It has no meaning. Nowhere in any Vaishnav Sampradaya will you see someone chanting a mantra before they get initiated in it. But in our movement, you do. Devotees are chanting Hare Krishna mantra for at least 1 year before they get initiation. Nowhere will you see someone getting initiated into a mantra and the person doesn't speak it in their ear. So what does it mean? We can't accept that it's meaningless, but it's very, very deep. Srila Prabhupada established that as part of that ceremony, he didn't chant in their ear, and they were already chanting a mantra. But what did he give? He gave two basic principles of that ceremony. The disciple agrees to four things. He surrenders to Gurudev, and he says, I'm going to follow four principles. And Gurudev gives a lecture. And what does he speak about? 10 offenses to the holy name. So in effect, Gurudev is saying, I'll accept you if you make this promise. Four principles, and you're going to try your best, as Srila Prabhupada said, to avoid these 10 offenses. So what is the difference then of their chanting before that ceremony and after? There's a big difference. And in his commentary on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, we were speaking of this yesterday also, he describes one's nam bhajan or one's practices of bhakti before initiation and after initiation. He says before initiation, it's indriya vyapara, where the sense is engaged in the sense objects. And a famous verse is there in Padma Purana. What is it? Very famous verse. Ata Shri Krishna Nam Adi Nabhaved Graham Indriyai. That you can't understand the holy name with your senses, categorically, or Krishna himself. But Sevan Mukhi Jivado, when you begin to chant as a service. And so this is the mystery of first initiation. When Gurudev accepts us, and we chant the same mantra we were chanting before, but now I'm doing it as a service to Gurudev. I'm keeping Gurudev in front of me. Yesterday someone asked me, when should we start reading or hearing these topics? And he said, this is a big question many devotees have. And I said, it's only a big question for people who don't have a strong connection with their guru, who are external persons and are looking here and there and thinking, just I'm going to read a book and get something, or thinking I'm just going to talk to my friends. But we do our bhajan under the guidance of guru. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he says that Tate Krishna Bhaji Kori Guru Sevan. You should worship Krishna, and that worship of Krishna is your Guru Seva. Not that I have qualification to go outside and talk to Krishna alone, but I keep my Gurudev in front of me. So when we approach verses like this one, Pramana Madana Leela, Kandare Kandare Te, then we keep our Gurudev in front of us. We keep our Sambandha in front of us. We keep our self-conception in front of us. And we want to understand this because we need to know what is the goal. Otherwise, how am I going to make any progress? And Giridhar is such a personality. This is our prayojan, our goal of our acharyas. We want to reside near him because Pramada Madana Leela Kandare Kandare Te. In these caves, amazing things are going on. Indra, he has some agitation known as Mada. But in these caves is Pramada, very intense agitation. Because it's Madana, very amorous pastimes. Na means without. Mada means also with lust. And this Madana has a number of meanings. If you break it into two words, Madana, then it means without lust. And together, it means something amorous. It refers to the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Again, not so long ago in our Krishna Katamrita Bindu magazine, we translated and put some verses from Srila Jagadananda Pandit's Prema Vivarta. I'd like to sing a few of these to you. In there, he speaks about love. I was giving a lecture a few days ago in Delhi, and I told the devotees that we have our 16-word Maha Mantra, but in the West is another mantra, which is three words. And what is that mantra? We can get perfection by chanting Hare Krishna. And people, they think that by chanting this three-word mantra, they'll get perfection, or just by hearing it. What is that three-word mantra? I love you. But there's a problem with that mantra because they don't know who I is, don't know who yourself is, they don't know who you are, and they don't know what love is. So it creates lots of confusion. So Jagadananda Pandit speaks about this thing. And you can chant Hare Krishna in response to this. Piriti 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 bole piriti bhujila ke bolo. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Ram Ram Hare Hare. Jai Jana Piriti Bhujite Pare Braja Gopi Hoya Se. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare. Piriti, 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 boli. Again and again, so many people are speaking about love in all the movies and all the songs. Everybody's speaking about love. And even I hear the devotees sometimes, Prabhu, we should love each other. We should keep love in the center. But piriti, 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 boli, he says, everybody's talking about love. But who really understands it? Piriti bujile. Who understands what that love is? Jejana piriti bujide pari braja gopi hoya se. It's a gopis of braj who understand what that love is. Raghunath Das Goswami, he understands what that love is. And our sambandha means that I keep him in front of me. I keep our disciplic succession in front of me when I approach this thing. So these are a few thoughts we had on the second verse. We'll stop here. It's time to finish now. If anybody has any other questions or comments, you can come and see me afterwards. Srila Prabhupada ke Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ke Gopremanande Hari Hari Vanchaka Padarubhischa Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha.